You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
You know, we're having high church here today, and I'm going to have to just break in there because it is past the top of the hour, and we have guests in our studio. Kind of hard to call them guests because I feel like it's just some more of our awesome family. And so we have the executive director of CareNet of the Treasure Coast of Florida. An incredible, amazing, life-saving ministry.
Amen.
Wow, what a banquet. I was at the banquet. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Suchess.
Very welcome. Nice to be here.
What an amazing night. The ministry was powerful.
Thank you.
It was powerful. And you know, if it doesn't strike me that way, I would tell you, don't you?
Well, we were just talking about how long we've known each other, Jonathan.
That's right. That's right. I don't know. I'm getting hand signals here. I'm not sure what they mean. Let me just say this before we jump into this. We have a donation that has come in for $300, and it is coming from Alan in Stewart. Alan in Stewart, thank you so much for that $300. And, of course, we have David, who is giving us an update on where we are with matching funds.
Yes.
His fingers are doing the walking right now.
Well, yes, let's hope so. We have now currently $5,190 left to raise.
190. That's left to raise to match the 10,000.
10,000, right. Yep.
We started the morning, Sue, with a $10,000 matching fund challenge from the snook fishermen.
I heard the story. I was listening. Was
you
awesome.
Were listening. I was listening. That I should have just given the test. All right. So we're gonna add that in, and we kind of have limited time because Sue's agenda is so tight, and we want to jump right into it. Tell us how things are going with CareNet. What's taking place? What happened at the banquet? I just want to know everything.
Well, we had a wonderful two-night banquet at the Mid-Florida Event Center in Port St. Lucie last week, and between the two nights, our attendance was 588, so we almost reached 600.
Wow.
And, you know, considering that this is still pandemic, that just amazes me. We spread them out on the table. They were not packed so closely together, but still that would pretty much max out the ballroom. Not the first night, but the second night, we maxed out the ballroom. So it was very, very good. One of the things that I absolutely was blown away by was our underwriters who gave our goal for, you know, our goal was anywhere between, well, I need to back up and explain something first. What we have decided to do is we're flipping the banquet from fall to spring. So we're having two banquets within 1 year's time now, because we're doing it in the spring, and we will not do one in the fall. In the fall, what we're going to do is the Walk for Life.
So smart. You're going to catch all those winter people.
And get away from hurricane season. Those are the reasons. We've discussed this for years, and we've been afraid to try it, because as you can imagine, it affects the bottom line. Our walk brings in a wonderful amount, but not as much as the banquet does. So this year, we're going through a budget year with two banquets. And so what we did was set our goal for the underwriting at, we set it for 37, our goal was $35,000. And the first banquet should have been half of that. Instead, we brought in $37,500 from local businesses, nonprofits, and individuals. So we went over
praise
our goal
God.
For both banquets in the first banquet.
Wow.
And then our giving was $314,000. Which
how is that?
That's amazing. That's simply amazing. Again, we set our goal to be $250,000 in one-time giving, and of course the $314,000 includes the pledges as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so our one-time giving was over $130,000. We're not quite finished with the one-time giving.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we were finished with that. Yes, the total one-time gifts was $173,000. Again, it was supposed to be $125,000, and instead, one-time gifts brought in $173,000.
Wow.
So, and then the rest of that $314,000 was the underwriting and the pledging. So God really came through.
What does this say about the body of Christ? And
it is amazing. They're just, God is moving.
There's an awakening, isn't there?
Yes, there is. There is an awakening. And I think as we have watched some of the things that have made us so heartsick in the federal government, we are waking up on the state level. Over and over and over, I'm seeing that everywhere I turn. Our speaker was Catherine Glenn, and she spoke, she's the president of Americans United for Life, and she spoke about just the wonderful state wins that we've been experiencing over the past few months. Just so many states stepping forward, just like the Texas Heartbeat Bill, just doing so much more for things on the state level. So while the federal is discouraging, the state is anything but. The states are waking up, as you said. They are waking up. God's people are waking up to say, hey, well, we better get busy. We're losing us. And it's been exciting to be a part of this day.
So it's not only we need to wake up, We are waking up as a body of Christ. That is really powerful. Have you met Aiden over here? He is, you know, he's the youngest member of our team who does not even get paid a pittance.
I have met him. Loved meeting him last time. Wonderful looking young man.
I would feed
super
him.
Super tall.
Yeah, he, well.
He is,
mostly on the top side. Tall on the top side, an awesome man of God, and probably did not make it your family, did any in your family make it this year to CareNet? I don't know that they did, because you guys have been going through a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, he just came back. His uncle passed, and they flew north and took care
so
of that.
I'm so sorry.
But we're so excited to have him back with us this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if he's looking at you kind of, with a studious look, it's because he's preparing some grilling questions that he can share with the executive director to find out how nonprofits are surviving in a day when the devil thought he was going to shut us down.
Exactly what's happening. So ask me, Aiden. Ask me.
Well, how much was the businesses that donated, and how much was singular people?
Well, what was the 37,000 was businesses. Almost all of them were. There were some nonprofits, I think maybe three or four.
Mm.
And there were actually two legislators as well that donated. Yes.
Cool.
But all of the rest were businesses, and that was 37,000. And then the one-time giving was 173.
Mm.
And those were majority individuals and churches.
Mm, okay. Do you have a specific date for the Walk for Life and the next banquet?
I do. The banquet in the spring is March 10th and 11th, and the Walk for Life is October 15th.
Mm.
So.
Cool. Look at that. He his brain was going. I could tell.
Steam coming out here and there.
Steam coming out down there. Well, he is becoming, ever more comfortable with us, which means my job is more in jeopardy every day because, it's like the Holy Spirit makes us so much better than we are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, apart from
it
God. If people, I watch this America's has Got Talent. If they knew what God could do, if he was first in their life, I mean, it's amazing what I see people do in the natural without God. But with God, all the limits are off. It is amazing. So we're excited to see that. And, I come in here, God's blessed me with this great team. So, Sue, where do you go from here? I know your new center is what? It's about a year open?
Yes.
And how is that working out? I know you were looking to reach a different demographic.
Yes,
and
it's been happening. For the first month or so, it was pretty slow. But gradually, word's getting around. We're having more and more people walk in. We're having more and more calls on the phone. What we do with that is we advertise on the internet. That's how word gets out that there's a third location. And so it's been going really well. We would like to see it busier. And we're hoping that comes with time.
Okay.
We are pleased, really pleased with where the three centers are at right now. The locations are absolutely perfect.
They're strategically
they really
placed.
Are.
And so
everyone
this
are.
New location is the ideal location.
Yes.
It's just now getting the roots in and really getting established there.
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
We had quite a night last night. We had ultrasounds were done in Stewart, and I can't wait to hear the reports because the girl that was coming in at 8 o'clock had an abortion scheduled, and she agreed to come and let us do an ultrasound first.
Mm.
So those are the kind of stories that you kind of live, it's like living on a cliffhanger while you wait to hear how it goes and how it turns out. I mean, we're well aware that this is life in the balance.
Mm.
These mamas are not always aware of that, and so our goal is to carefront them in just as gentle a way as possible, but to show them truth. Because when they see the truth sets them free.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that's true from the Word of God. We see it play out all the time in our centers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the ultrasounds, it seems to me I remember something being said at the banquet that you are considering maybe making this a part of your staff. How does that work now? Because it seems the ultrasounds is a very important part of the rescues.
It totally is.
Okay.
And what we're realizing is that girls need to hear quickly. They need to be seen quickly. And I want to keep everything in place that we presently have, our volunteers that do it in evening hours when our ultrasonographers are donating their time and coming in and doing this.
Wow.
And our nurses are donating their time and coming in and doing this. But we need to have somebody that is more available. And the next thing that has to happen is the board has to make the plan. And and so that's going to be our November board meeting. It's going to be a lot of the stuff will be discussed, and as we lay out strategically what's coming next. But what I've been doing is gathering information on where we're at. The abortion pill is 50 to 60 days away from being legalized online. That's the push that the FDA is. It's just to be released by the FDA so that the abortion pill will be available online. And understand what happens when a girl can get this pill online. That means she's not getting an ultrasound. And as you can imagine, she could have an ectopic pregnancy. If she has an ectopic pregnancy, it's life-threatening. And she's taking an abortion pill. And the abortion pill itself, the method in which it expels the baby can mask what's actually going on with an ectopic pregnancy, which is a pregnancy that's literally taking place in the fallopian tube and has to be removed surgically. But she's not getting an ultrasound, so she won't know this. And so she gets the abortion pill online, and the advertisement says that she can take care of her problem in the privacy of her own home. Well, what that means is in the privacy of her home, the bathroom becomes her abortion clinic. Wow. And forevermore, when she walks into that bathroom, that's what she's reminded of, is that this is where that terrible thing took place. If the pill's prescribed and she's further along than she thought she was, then it is very dangerous if she has an abortion. And all of this stuff is being brought to us, making it more important for us to get an ultrasound more quickly and have this available more quickly for her. So this is something that's next on our horizon.
So if somebody comes in, you need to be able to meet that need.
Immediately.
Because an hour later may be too late.
Exactly. And 3 days later may be too late.
Yes. So at this point, what is the average lead time between appointment versus, initial contact?
They usually have made, you mean right now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I can't say for certain because it's not always the same.
Okay.
But I do know that there have been nights when we've had none of the girls have shown up. And when we go looking, we can see that the reason they didn't show up was because it was too long from when the appointment was made to when they were scheduled to come in. And that tells us one thing. They already, quote unquote, took care of their problem. And we just need to get to them sooner. So.
Wow. So I know, part of the budget, dollars are part of this, and at the banquet that was discussed some. And obviously the favor of God is all over saving lives, because it's not just in the natural saving a life, which is huge, but it's saving families, and it's people being eternally saved. It's a whole package, really, of life.
It's even people being emotionally protected from the things that they are being preyed upon by a world that is trying to make dollars on an abortion legal, instead of realizing what is the greater good of the person that is seeking an escape from what looks like a problem they need to escape from.
How has COVID impacted the whole industry and your ministry as far as numbers and such forth?
Well, we don't have the abortion numbers yet from 2020. We won't for a while.
Okay.
But it appears that there has been a great increase of abortion because they're already fearful from the pandemic. So fear drives them to not want to complicate their life with one more problem, not realizing that it actually complicates their life more.
Yes, tremendously more.
Wow. Oh, the grief. It's just, it's heartbreaking to us.
And I know I always bring this up because as pastors look at the congregation and everyone's dressed, it used to be in their Sunday best, now it's probably their shopping best, or maybe eating out best, or maybe beach best. We never know how people are going to come to church these days. But when we look at that image that is projected so many times, it's just assumed that the church is a safe place and that people who are there are protected from the enemy, that the enemy's not going to come into our nice little good churched families. But That's not the case, is it?
No, it's not. It actually is in the church. Abortion is in the church.
Yeah. And,
I wish that perhaps pastors understood that better.
And we've got to talk about it. Mm-hmm. We have to talk about it. And we have to make that known that a pastor is in a position, I believe, of either being a part of the solution or perhaps an accountable part of the problem.
Yes.
Because silence does not address this issue.
When you think about it, it makes sense because the pastor has a hard time addressing it because he is fearful of hurting somebody that has it in their background, and he knows it's painful.
Yes. Yes.
So he's not quite certain how to address it. And my heart goes out to him. I understand that. But by not addressing it, the girl who is presently considering it might go through with it, not understanding what it will do to her inner person and her conscience, and even physically how it could damage her for having future pregnancies.
Mm-hmm. So if a church takes the position, we're not going to address the issues. This is a huge issue. It's not an optional issue to me, obviously.
I agree.
But it's a huge issue. But if a church or an organization takes the position, well, we're not going to deal with the issues, and so abortion is one of those issues, and that happens. That happens in a lot of churches, a lot of movements. Where is someone supposed to find the truth?
Yeah.
If the church is not a carrier of the truth, mm-hmm. a place where truth is found, and isn't really the gospel about forgiveness?
And the gospel is about truth.
And love and truth mm-hmm. and new beginnings. Mm. And the truth can keep you from ending up there. You know, I used to, we had Full Gospel businessmen and a lot of these different organizations where testimonies were told. And I would occasionally have someone say to me, well, I don't really have a great testimony. So what do you mean? Well, you know, I didn't kill anybody yet, you know, and well, that's nice. That's good. We appreciate that. And, you know, I haven't robbed any banks recently. And, you know, I'm still with the same wife. And, you know, they'll go through these things and say, you know, I my life's boring. There's really nothing for me to share. But the keeping power of God that enables those who have been exposed and have surrendered to Christ early, that is not a boring life. That is a healthy life.
That's right.
That is a normal life. And so God desires for people to know the difference between right and wrong and not just be left to, you know, bang around on a bumper car course and hope that somehow or another you end up at the right place. But unfortunately, ministries and ministers and you know, I'm probably more mouthy than some would like me to be, but I can't really help myself. I believe we're going to stand before God and give an account.
I do too.
And I do not believe the doctors and staff in an abortion clinic are the only ones that are responsible. Mm-hmm. I believe that a lot of the sewage and sewer that's in our nation is the result of silence in the pulpit.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Amen.
And there is a solution.
Yes.
And the solution is not to go back to the seminaries and expect them to fix the problem, but a return to God. We need revival. We need to come back to God. And so, you know, one thing I love about WCNO is the freedom we have here to bring in tremendous programming and to let the Holy Spirit touch people's lives. And we've had a number of people come in, and you know, for the house of God to be a like an emergency room where, you know, it's not the country club, it's dirty, it's messy, it, you know, but let's find grace, but let's also minister so those who are looking for the way know where the way is.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So you have been doing what you're doing, Sue, for a few years, right?
Yes, 19.
19 years. Wow. And look how young God's kept you and your husband. And, you know, as Pastor Sam was sharing yesterday about some of the health issues, some of the spiritual attacks. What are some of the spiritual attacks? How should people be praying for Sue Chess, for your staff, for your team, for your ministry?
I think that one of the ways that Satan can absolutely pull out a team is to get them so busy they can't stop and check in with how they're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of it. Just, you know, prayer that Satan will not overwhelm us to the point that we can't share one another's burdens. And not just share one another's burdens, but also share the burdens of the people that we're partnering with. I love Jane's heart for our partners. She is our event specialist, our community person, and she has such a heart for the people that volunteer with us. And one of the things that I say frequently to the center directors, your first responsibility is to your volunteers. If they need somebody to talk to, they need to find that in you. And that's very important, that all of us are ministering not just to the outside, but also to one another.
To the inside.
The one another's are very important. And so I believe that's how a team stays strong, and I think that a strong team, that's how a strong team best ministers to the world around you.
That's excellent. Mm-hmm. And do we not see that pattern with Jesus? He spent a lot of time ministering to the disciples. And of course, you know, when he says, what, you still haven't got it, you know, how long do I have to put up with your limited faith or lack of faith? But the day came when they had it. You know, they understood it, they got it. And really, leadership, so many times it's pastoring your leaders, you know, you're in a situation such as that. Well, we thank God for you for the work of CareNet. We are so blessed that it is a part of the Treasure Coast of Florida.
Amen.
And thrilled that God has strengthened you and your husband to have a wonderful, faithful witness over these years. And you know, one of the things that one of our callers was talking about, how many years God has sustained him in ministry. And just talking about that aspect of God's grace, and how many lives are saved, how many lives have been touched. We don't know all of that because there's so much more than we'll ever know here.
Yeah.
Because it's a ripple effect. You know, the power of the gospel just goes out. But the fact that we're able to be a part is absolutely awesome.
I would ask your prayers in an area, and your listeners as well, because one of the things that CareNet shares is the gospel. And I would just ask you to pray with me that God would give us fertile ground. Mm-hmm. Every guy or girl that will allow us to, we share how to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's a very important part of who CareNet is. And I would like to see more salvation, more souls being won. The soil seems very hard, more so in recent years than what it used to be. So I really would like to ask your prayers on that, and your listeners as well. Mm. Pray for CareNet that not just babies' lives will be saved, but if mama's heart is redirected to Jesus Christ, she will be a good mama. And that baby's life will be better.
Right.
She will be better. Mm-hmm. He will be better. You know, we minister to dads as well as to moms. Mm. And we offer them the plan of salvation. Pray that they will respond to it and that they will receive Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Well, then we know how we're to pray. And you've helped us with that. Well, we're what? About a year with you being a partner with us here at WCNO?
Is it that long?
Seems like about a year.
That's wonderful.
You know, we're close to a year. Tell me how that's working. And I didn't ask you beforehand, and you know, I'm not giving you a quarter for a tip, but you know, how is it working? Because we have other ministries that just wonder, you know, does, you know, is there anybody out there? Because I had one guy go, oh yeah, you have 50,000 people that listen. No, we know that we have hundreds of thousands of people that listen. But how has it worked for CareNet, and do you get any response?
Yes, we have people tell us. I heard about it on the radio.
Okay.
And we do periodic ads on other radios, but okay. WCNO sure. is the one that we advertise on the most. It is the in most in our area. We cover Martin and St. Lucie County
okay.
with our three locations. And so, yes, they're especially when we have an event coming up,
okay,
like the Walk for Life especially. That's one that seems to really generate feedback. I guess maybe okay. the walk mm-hmm. lends itself to having people tell us that.
Okay.
But the walk especially, I think, was very well received and spoken of by the listeners to us when they would come Excellent. To the event.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, that is what we desire, and we're kind of learning, and we want to do all that we can to lift up your arms and see God utilize the team and the facilities and all that is at CareNet in a most effective way. So we really from our beginning here, we've had leadership that the leadership has been totally pro-life, and we will continue to be that way. But we want to go above and beyond. So let us know how we can do that.
Thank you. We really Definitely appreciate you. And I have so appreciated the partnership of WCNO. Every single one of you has been wonderful.
Thank you. That is it's our joy, and we're blessed for that partnership. Aiden, I'm going to ask that that you lead out in prayer for CareNet today, mm-hmm. and that you know, she's asking us to just pray for souls, pray for you know, a generation that may be a little harder now than it was what 10 years ago or so. And you know, Aiden, that those are people that you may get to minister to. And
right.
Perhaps right now you're going to, even as you pray.
Mm. All right. Lord, thank you for CareNet. Thank you that they have reached so many people so far, and they will continue to do so. And
thank you, Father.
Help them to extend their reach to all generations that are on this earth today. And, you know, thank you for them. Help them to just expand in only a way that you can help them expand and help them reach people that you could only reach, and just help them be a vessel for you, God, and just minister and help them to save as many lives as possible. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Father, knowing that the enemy goes after the leader, pray a hedge of protection around Sue. Mm-hmm. And Sam, and Father, those key leaders, those inner circle personnel that are there that see and know and understand not only our strengths but also our weaknesses better because they're so close. And Father, I pray that resurrection life, that resurrection life of God would just be so visibly represented in the doors, inside the facilities, that as people come through the doors, that those hearts would just be broken up by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the word would be sharp and powerful, and it would penetrate the darkness, and
yes.
that more lives would be saved, Father, that the ground would be receptive of the good seed.
Yes.
And that we would see an increase. That I know they count, they keep numbers, they keep statistics. And Father, the desire is to populate heaven, and we
Amen.
Pray
yes.
for that
yes.
to take place. And
Jesus.
Father, in whatever way we can be better stewards of the hours, the minutes, the resources, the people, and the lost souls that you send to us, we are asking for that wisdom, for that guidance, for that direction, and Father, for the wind of your Spirit to move us in that direction, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, what do you want to share before you leave?
I can't believe you just asked me that, because I thought, Lord, I got to share this.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to make sure that I leave with the phone number in case there's somebody listening that is facing unplanned pregnancy, or someone that has a painful abortion in their back, that they, in their background, that they know that they need to talk to someone about. So the phone number is 772-828-3168. 772-828-3168.
And you may know someone that needs that number. And so God may have you in a place where you're a bit of a bridge to someone's healing, maybe someone's salvation, maybe a family salvation, because we know how this works. Look at Billy Graham. You know, you never know who you're ministering to and how God has a plan, because he always has a plan for every one of us. Always does.
And God doesn't have plan B. It's always plan A. Always.
That's true. That's true. Yes, even though we were raised differently, but amen. I agree totally, and it's never too late to find that and to move in agreement with God's plans and purposes. Sue, will you please let us know how we can be more of a blessing to you and to the great work that you do? And we're just blessed to know you and thank God for the work that he's put in your hand.
Likewise to all of you.
Thank you. Blessings, and come back and see you soon. Keep us posted. Amen. I'm going to see if I can get a hold of Tim right after this next song. Tim is going to give us a report on what took place with Church United. The Barna Group had a gathering down in Fort Lauderdale and the Calvary Chapel there, and we are looking for a report on that, as well as an update on what's going on with Dr. Chauncey Crandall. I understand there's another hospital outreach night of prayer that's coming up very soon, and we want to get that information out to our listeners as well. So we're going to put a call out to Tim, see if we can get him on the phone here in just a moment. And Sue, you're welcome to hang out with us if you like, or and Aiden, listen up. We're expecting you to come out with some great input here, you know. So it's good to have you. Good to have you back in town.
Good to be here.
Good to see young people that are giving their lives to Jesus Christ and are expecting more, because we know we serve a God that does a whole lot more than we could ever think or imagine. I Need Your Glory, and we'll be right back. WCNO in Palm City, Florida. Numbers 888-221-8990. Prayer and share. Give us a call with your donation today.
I need to glow. I want to glow. Less of me and more of you is what I need. Show me your glow. And show me a power. Less me and more of you is what I need.
I need your glory.
I
want your glory.
Less of me.
Less of me and more. Rejecting the love in your warm embrace, but I realize I need you more and more each day. I need your glory.
Oh, I need
you. I want your glory.
And I want your glory.
Less of me.
Less of me. And more of you. That's what I need.
there's a worshiper out there that'll join me. Come on, let him know that you're hungry for him, that you're longing for him, that you're thirsty for him.
Amen, amen, amen. we've had some shouting songs on here this morning, and it's kind of hard to sit over here at the control panel, you know, the control board here. Once in a while, we kind of get distracted. That was great to have Sue Chess, Executive Director with CareNet of the Treasure Coast, saving lives, saving babies and families, and an awesome thing. All right, we now have... we have Tim with us, Tim Popatic. Tim, God bless you. God has put you into some very strategic places, and we're thrilled to have you with us today. I know that you were very active and involved in the Church United event in South Florida at Calvary Chapel at Fort Lauderdale with the Barna Group. So what happened? Tell us about it.
It was great. Well, thank you, Jonathan. It's always fun to come back and give a report of what we saw God do. And, you know, thanks to WCNO getting the word out. I mean, your listening audience up and down the coast is so strong, Jonathan. Would you believe we had 350 pastors and ministry leaders gathered live in person down at Calvary Chapel last Wednesday?
That's awesome.
And, it was great. The pulse in that room was undeniably the Holy Spirit. Like, it was folks that were gathered. It was, if you can imagine, you know, the excitement that Jerusalem must have felt when Nehemiah came and actually began to measure the walls and measure and take the data and begin to collect the data and survey the walls of Jerusalem, because he was about to do a great, great work. And Jonathan, there was nothing short of that anticipation in the room.
Tell us about
Yeah, I mean, as the pastors and ministry leaders gathered together, we did just that. We shared with them the data. Here's what's happening, in, not only in your churches, but across the entire region of South Florida. And we began to unpack what we've now called the State of the Church South Florida. And it's it was powerful. We had the president of Barna, David Kinnaman, who joined us, and he and Mark Matlock, along with Eddie Copeland from Church United, unpacked the data that we are beginning to surface now. So, you know, I thought maybe it would be fun for your listening audience just to even hear a couple of the data points.
Sure, share some of that with us, Tim.
We discovered. So, you know, here's a, you know, a couple things that we've been discovered as we've taken apart the data here. You know, some of the things like, here's a question: what people think of churches and pastors? This is kind of an interesting one, but nearly half of South Florida residents have a positive perception of the local Christian churches.
Really?
However, one in four holds negative views, and 3 in 10 are indifferent. So here's what we discovered, right, is that if you were to look about what people are thinking about local churches, 46% of non-Christians have a negative view of church right now, 46%.
Wow.
And so positively, a non-Christian has 21%. So think about that. Like, what we have to do now to overcome what it means to be a local church, right? Mm. There's sort of a perception there of what that looks like. So what it does is, as a church now, we have to figure out new ways to reach out, to become relevant to the people who are around us, right? Which is super fascinating. Now, here's what, like, people expect of churches. So this is an interesting data point. South Florida residents expect a lot of Christian churches. They're most likely to expect homeless services, companionship for the elderly, the youth, or children's events, and counseling services, right? And so this is what we heard over and over and over again, that these are the types of things that people are expecting.
Say those again. Say those again. Homeless, homelessness.
Homelessness, to address homelessness, companionship for the elderly, youth or children's events, and possibly counseling. This is what South Florida residents are expecting that churches are doing, right? Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
So if you're a church or you're a pastor and you're listening to this and you're going, huh, we don't do any of those things.
We're in trouble, right?
We're in trouble, you know, the world around, or you might be saying, oh my goodness, those are the things we had to shut down during COVID because we just didn't have enough energy for them. Mm. Kind of interesting, right? Here's an interesting one. South Florida churchgoers say that their ideal in-person sermon is 36 minutes, and an online sermon is 32 minutes. Mm. So it's slightly higher than the national norms. That's interesting.
Really?
Huh. So we took a bunch of different data points and kind of pushed all this through. So you might be listening to this today, and you might be going, all right, listen, there was literally 3.5 hours of data that was shared. I'm sharing just some highlights. You might say, how do I get my hands on this? I'm really curious. So any of you can go to, there's two places you can get this information. So one is, if you're looking for this information, you can download what we call basically a city toolkit, right? And the way to do it, it's absolutely free. If you're a church or a ministry, you can get the city toolkit. You'll have complete access to all of the data that I'm talking about, but you'll also be able to see how you can help measure things inside of your own church or ministry. Mm. All the listeners have to do, Jonathan, is text the word toolkit, T-O-O-L-K-I-T, to the number 844-986-4270. So 844-986-4270, and it's the word toolkit. Now, if you're driving and, you know, you can't remember all that, you could also go to stateofsouthflorida.church, stateofsouthflorida.church, and you can register for the toolkit, and you'll have access to all the stuff. Plus, we put the recordings of the actual event inside of those links.
Oh, wow.
Which is super exciting. So it's like... just trying to beginning to understand how the people are responding to not only COVID but the church. Let me just read you one more data point because I think this is interesting. How has the pandemic affected relationships in South Florida? Right.
Right.
So this is going to apply to every one of us. So in the midst of COVID disruptions, many in South Florida report that their closest relationships have actually improved. Right now, even as I say this, there is one subset of this group that it did not improve for, and that was for millennials. Right. Mm. So, how has the pandemic affected our closest relationships? And you know what we're discovering is that for millennials, it did not affect it actually had the opposite effect, probably because they're so interested in in-person things, right? And so you see that generation, it's just they've got to be hanging out together, they've got to be doing this. But for Gen Xers, so if you're 37 to 55, I don't know where you are, Jonathan, in that mix. You're probably, you know, somewhere there, a little bit older. You're probably 29. But in that mix, 53% of Gen Xers said that the pandemic improved their relationships. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting, and I would say
and
that.
If you're a boomer, get this. So if you're 56 to 74, 51% of those adults said that it improved their relationships. So very interesting, some of the impact that that COVID has had and the pandemic has had on relationships.
Sounds like we could say what the devil meant for evil, God had another plan.
He definitely had another plan. So it's just been fun. But we've got all kinds of data in here. Again, it was a thrilling event. I really believe that one of the greatest outcomes from the event is that we're going to be able to see better and do better as churches and ministries all up and down the coast. We had folks, Jonathan, from the Treasure Coast all the way down to Miami that attended this event. And so, I mean, I know your listening audience did a great job of getting their pastors there, which was great. You know, we've been giving out these toolkits. We have hundreds of churches now that are inside of our GLUE platform, able to access this data. They're able to actually do assessments, all free. So when I say it's free, it actually costs money, but people have paid for these churches to be on this platform. And so we've had some really, really generous folks that have paid your way to be on this platform. So it is a gift. It's just a great way for you to do better as a church. So I'm super excited to, you know, give those away. So if there's any churches or ministries that want to be part of that, feel free to go to stateofsouthflorida.church. It'd be great.
Well, that is fantastic. Tim, I am just so blessed that you would grab time out of your day to come and let our family hear, because I'm sure there are a lot of pastors that were not able to attend that would maybe have liked to, and some didn't even know about it. They're just maybe today for the first time hearing, even though we promoted this kind of around the clock. And they can get connected. They can be a part at this point, and this is tremendous. Now, did this happen in other places in the United States?
We did. You know, we did a meeting. In fact, I just got off a plane last night. We were in Columbus, Ohio yesterday.
Okay.
We did a very similar meeting, and so we've been in Columbus. We had, you know, hundreds of folks that were there in Columbus. We were in Dallas, Texas, the DFW area, and we were in Kansas City. Now, I do know that we're rolling out the State of the Church across a bunch more cities in the coming days ahead. So
okay.
We've been talking about rolling it out across the entire state of Florida soon. So there's going to be a lot of churches that will be able to benefit from this research and participate with Barna and Glue and all the stuff we're doing with the State of the City. So super excited about that.
Well, you know, just thinking that people perish from a lack of knowledge, and when you know the truth will set you free. You know, it's if you have the information, that's one of the things that it seems there's such an attempt of maybe just our enemy, the devil, to do is to distort the truth so that people are discouraged, pastors are discouraged, that leaders are discouraged because they simply may not have the data that is accurate.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is we still have a long way to go as the church across South Florida. I mean, we're in a predominantly non-Christian, post-Christian kind of, or maybe even pre-Christian environment, and there's just so much work to be done. And yet, we realize that the relevancy of the church is kind of waning, and so we need to do things differently. We need to be responsive rather than reactive to the needs of the people around us, and we're able to see what those needs are. We're letting the data objectively tell us what those needs are, and then we can be responsive.
I think it's fascinating that that the world is expecting that the church is going to address the youngest and the oldest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do it's something.
It's super fascinating. And, you know, one practical way, and I'll say this too, if you're a church leader or you're really interested in prayer, we have a couple opportunities for you to get involved and engage with prayer. And one of the things that we're rolling out literally across South Florida, it was the call to action from the meeting, even at Calvary last week, and it was to really awaken the church across South Florida to take this data. Now we've made some digestible bite-sized pieces of this data, and we're going to actually roll out a prayer prompt for
Love
30
it.
Days across Love South Florida. So if anybody wants to be part of that, it's just a prayer prompt starting in November. And to actually get this prayer prompt, literally you register by, again, text. But you can text the word AWAKEN. So AWAKEN to 844-986-4270. So AWAKEN, the word AWAKEN, to 844-986-4270. And what will happen is you'll register to be part of our whole system there. And for 30 days, the entire month of November, we're going to take this data. And so it might be like, did you know that relationships, these particular kinds of relationships are, 32%, whether I'm making that up, but we're going to give you a data point that you could begin to pray over. So across the South Florida, you'll be able to pray with specificity on every day. You'll wake up, you'll get a prayer prompt, pray for this today, pray
Excellent.
For that today.
Excellent.
And you'll begin to see things all across the
Excellent.
County that you never saw before.
Excellent. And it's for our state. That is awesome. All right, we are getting kind of short on time, and Tim, we want to talk about Dr. Crandall and what is happening with Healing Nights, what's happening with the hospital outreach prayer events and such forth. Can you give us any updates with that?
Just a quick update with that is we have our next hospital night that's coming up this Saturday, October 16th. And it's going to be, we're going 6 to 8 p.m. We're going to be at JFK Hospital. We're going to be at Gardens Medical Center. We'll be at Jupiter Hospital. We'll be at Good Sam. We'll be at JFK. And we're also adding Wellington Regional. So these are the hospitals that we're going to be at. Just if you want to come and pray with us, you could literally come to these hospitals and pray with us on those on that night, Saturday, October 16th, 6 to 8 p.m. Come, join us. We'll be near the main entrances of each of these hospitals. We will not be at the emergency entrances. The main entrances. Just come and join our prayer team. There's nothing you have to do except come and pray. We pray outside of the hospitals. We send cards into the hospital to have them text the word prayer back out to us. So they're texting us their prayer requests. We're praying. Really, really powerful stuff. If you want more information, you can go to healingencounternights.com and see that information. But, when we were doing this a couple weeks ago, Jonathan, the response was overwhelming. We had hundreds of people texting us. Thousands
Praise
of
God.
People watched it online.
Praise God.
We are going to be recording it live on a Saturday night, so people can
awesome.
Watch it on Facebook Live.
Awesome.
And so you can watch it on Facebook Live. It's going to be amazing, 6 to 8 p.m. with Dr. Crandall. We'll be pulling in. We had people that were calling in into our Zoom call, and they literally had oxygen masks on. Some of those same people walked out of the hospital the next day.
Wow.
Praise God.
So, and we also had people adopting hospitals all over Florida. In fact, someone in your station went to Martin County
right.
Hospital.
Two hospitals in Martin County.
Isn't that crazy? So maybe they'll join us again. So maybe we'll be, eight hospitals who knows, but it's catching all over the country. We have people in Savannah, Georgia. We've got people popping up in Kansas City and in Columbus that are doing hospitals now. So.